That first reading from the Old Testament tells the story of the call of the prophet Amos, who was minding his own business, herding the sheep, and he got the call and responded rather reluctantly. I'm told that Amos did his work around 750 B.C., 750 years before Christ. It was a time of great prosperity, material prosperity in Israel. This was before the first exile. But it was also a time when people of Israel seemed to have been caught up in their material prosperity, and they became very self-serving, self-promoting, and as often happens, they began to ignore the poor. And their worship, which they were very good at, apparently, their worship became empty and without substance. And that is the reason for the message of the prophet Amos. If you read the book of Amos, you'll hear him preach judgment, condemnation, punishment, threatening them that God will abandon them if they don't change their ways, because they cannot love God if they don't also love their brothers and sisters. He tells them that you are made for relationship with God, and you express that relationship with God through your relationship with your brothers and sisters, especially those brothers and sisters who have somehow been excluded from the care of the community. Paul says the same thing in even stronger language. He says, you are made for love. You are children of God, brothers and sisters of Jesus. You are predestined for life, for love, for communion with your brothers and sisters. An interesting use of the word predestination, huh? There are some who understand predestination to mean that some of us are destined to be with God and others are destined for damnation. But that's not how Paul uses the term. That's not how we use the term. When we talk about being predestined, what we mean is that God's plan, God's intention from the beginning of history is to draw all men and women into his embrace. That no one be left behind. And that we ought to live in community with one another in ways that express that inclusivity of God. All men and women are meant to be one. School parents here at Holy Trinity and religious ed parents, one. The 930 community here in the church and the 930 community in the theater or the soon-to-be-completed multi-purpose space, one, not two. The 5:30 Sunday Mass and the 11:30 Sunday Mass, one. We're not separate communities. We are meant to be in communion with all men and women. This is the fundamental message of the gospel. If God is love, if Jesus is love, then we who bear the Spirit of Jesus are also meant to be love. And I suggest you might just pause for 10 seconds and think of someone or some group of people, however near or however anonymous, someone who your inclination is to exclude. Mother-in-law, father-in-law, gays, straights, Republicans, Democrats, conservatives, liberals, Protestants, Jews, Muslims, immigrants, natives, which group or which individual do we tend to exclude from our embrace? We're not living as we have been destined to live. In just the 3 days, the last 3 days, we've had a major funeral here in the church. Two of them, actually. On Friday, Albert Colagiro. Many of you know Albert and his family. The message in the funeral liturgy is that we are one with Albert and all the saints. We are one with all the saints. We did baptisms yesterday, several of them. And what's the message of the baptism ritual? This little baby is one with this community. Not just one with God, but one with all of us, this church. I did a wedding yesterday afternoon, and what's the message of the wedding ritual? That these two people are meant to be one with each other, even as they are one with all of us. And what's the message of this Eucharist every time we come together? What's the message except that we beg the Lord to fill us with God's Spirit that we might be one with God through Jesus and one with our brothers and sisters? I hope that's your sincere prayer. I look in my own heart for sincerity in that desire to be one with each one of you. So when we come forward for Eucharist, for communion, why do we call it communion, right? Except it's that ritual of communion with brothers and sisters. When we come forward with communion, let's be mindful of our brothers and sisters, and especially those persons whom we know now in a conscious kind of way that we tend to exclude. And let's pray for healing, for reconciliation, for communion with all men and women.